Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Little Bob here. This summer, shop the latest small space solutions at Bob's Discount Furniture. From retro chic bedroom sets to stylish space-conscious Bob-o-pedic sofas, it's all at Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
You're gonna take me home tonight.
Oh, the Dave Glover Show is sponsored by the Michaels Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com.
Oh, you're gonna let it all hang out, fat bottom girls. You make the rocking world go round.
Welcome back, DGS MKMOX. A few minutes past 3 p.m. Do a little DGS happy hour here. I'll kick things off with a couple of make-em-ups. Turns out that there is a kind of anxiety that you can have that leads to a longer life. There's a typical anxiety, and then there's something called ARIS, emotional reactivity and internal stability, which means being cautious and anxious without the emotional instability. Lottie friggin' done. Good for you. I'm so happy for all those people out there. One more bit of bad news. So yeah, I guess it just keeps you safe. So you live longer because you're like, I'm a little uncomfortable about this beef tallow. And so there you go.
Interesting.
Then all the freaks like me are in the bounce house somewhere just being like, you know. Didn't help at all. Today's National Eat What You Want Day.
Oh.
What would that be? No thinking. Anything you want. Doesn't matter. What are you having?
Starting with a donut. For breakfast. We're going donut mode.
Yeah.
How'd those donuts treat you the other night? Pharaoh's.
Excellent.
Quality, right?
Quality.
Man. That's tough. I mean, if we're doing anything we want, we got to include pizza in there somewhere during the day. Probably tacos.
I love that.
Ice cream.
He doesn't do this often.
No.
But I love that sometimes it seems that Kevin forgets we're doing a radio show. And he's like, you're
listing things, yeah.
Just listing things, taking your time. Like,
I'm doing the old Forrest Gump. Bubba Gump. Sorry, I'm doing the Bubba Gump.
Waffles. I like waffles.
I like Cajun shrimp.
Women from a remote tribe in China view men as non-essential and dispensable, so their children are raised without fathers.
Okay.
I mean, you know what? It's working for them.
They found their way. Mm-hmm. 85-year-old Ringo Starr is the oldest rocker going on tour this summer, followed by the Beach Boys, Mike Love at 85, Bob Dylan at 84, Paul Simon at 84. Has anyone seen Frankie Valli lately?
No.
No.
Oh, my God. That poor dude. He had some great songs. He was great on The Sopranos. Now Google it.
Is he the one that just sings in front of the voice track in the video?
He barely.
Like he mouths it?
Yes. He just stands there, God love him, and barely moves and barely moves his mouth. They're like, Grease is the winner. And everyone's just like, oh my God, it's Frankie Valli. It's like, someone needs to talk to the authorities.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think in general, and this is a 61-year-old guy that plays in a rock band, but in general, like, I don't know. I think if you can still do it, do it. But if you can't, don't. Like, No Doubt just got terrible reviews at the Sphere.
Really?
Saying that she just can't sing anymore. So.
Really?
I did not know that.
I knew somebody who went on Instagram and they had a wonderful time.
Yeah, just a lot of bad reviews. So.
Missed me. But that is a thing, right? Because I guess we all just have to decide for ourselves what we're not going to spend our money on then, right? Because at some point when it starts to get really bad, you're like, it's time to stop. And I don't care what age it is.
Well, Andrew, you had something about people who don't understand the fairly recent phenomenon of people not going to concerts, the blue dot thing they're calling it.
Yeah, blue dot fever is what they're referring to it as. It's when you go to buy tickets and it's nothing but blue dots on the seating chart indicating available seats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that was my first thought when you're listing off all these tours. I'm like, well, all these tours are getting canceled. I mean, nobody's going to be shelling out the $600 or whatever Bob Dylan wants for a ticket to go see him.
Is he playing big venues or is he playing like smaller ones? What's he doing?
I would assume big.
I would assume big. I'm just calling out Bob Dylan. I don't know what his tour details are. I don't know anything about it. I don't mean it like that. I just mean what we're seeing is lots and lots of people, artists canceling tours and stuff, in particular like this year in the summer. And, you know, industry has fallen over themselves to try and figure out why that could be. Well, it's because the concerts have become $300 for a ticket to a show in like a big auditorium or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, stadium. I would say to them, you know what's going on. You guys finally reached the point you've been trying to get to, which is what is the most we can charge these people? And now you know.
Yeah, now you know. And nobody's buying tickets because in some places, like out on the West Coast, gas is $9 a gallon, and people need their money for other stuff. People just can't afford to buy tickets that are horribly expensive. They can't afford to spend $1,000 to go to a concert anymore. And even if they could afford it, maybe they just don't want to anymore. Maybe they're just hitting the point where they're like, you know what? Last summer I spent $1,000 to go to a concert, and it was not worth it. I'm not going to do it again.
What do you think it was that... I mean, I don't know. I feel like, Rach, when the whole team went to Counting Crows, it was like $60-70 a ticket. And then suddenly Phoebe's wanted to go see Noah Kahan and it's $700. Like,
what? For a ticket?
Oh, yeah.
Well, part of it is that.
But that's resale ticket.
Yes. Oh, that's secondary market. Okay,
but,
yeah.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. To me, being stupid, there's no other market but the resale market. I don't know how to buy tickets for $60 anymore. I just know how to go to StubHub or whatever and see that it's $400 to $2,000.
Well, you just have to get the tickets as soon as they become available, which can be kind of a struggle.
Can you do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, depending on the level of act, it can be really hard. For Taylor Swift, it's impossible. Mm-hmm. For, you know, a normal act, probably you could probably do that within the first week or two and get them, like, again, it's all through Ticketmaster or Live Nation or whatever. It's always going to be through that, so you're going to pay fees and stuff.
For the in-demand tickets, typically you have to be pretty much ready to go as soon as they go on sale.
So I guess here's what I mean.
Sometimes you have to be, like, a fan club member or, like, have some special credit card deal where, like...
Well, here's what I'm asking. Other than a stupid dad like me that will pay that for his child, and I never have, but I paid quite a bit, who's doing this? Who's got $1,000 to go see
Noah Kahan?
Well,
I think it is mostly people in your income bracket who are able to go to concerts now.
That just sucks.
I think people with less money are just not going.
That should almost be illegal. Like, it's music. Everyone deserves to go to Riverport or whatever and see their favorite live band and not cost a week's salary.
Well, then, so this just came up with football for TV, right? Because the president's talking about it and everybody talks about how it's unfair that it's streamed this and it costs that. Why don't we make that argument for anything? Why wouldn't I make the argument? Everyone deserves a Capital Grille burger and they should get that for McDonald's price.
I agree.
I hate it. I totally hate it. But it's capitalism. That's, I mean, like, that's what we live. When there's demand, there's price. And if there's no demand, the price will come down.
I believe, let me make a grand...
Or they'll cancel the tour.
Right, exactly.
Let me make a grand announcement, as I do. I think things like that, and including college, I think they're on their last leg. This brand of it. You know, kids going to college to get, you know, 4 years of fun, and they or the parents pay $250,000. I just kind of sense that we're all kind of wiping our eyes and going, what? What did we do? Why did we do this? And I think the same thing about concerts, that at some point we all go, yeah, that wasn't worth $800, not even close.
Yeah, not much is, but I mean, like, that's the hard part is, most difficult acts, it's not going to get any better. You know, again, using the Taylor Swift comparison or the hottest acts in the world at the moment, it's not going to change. But for most bands, I've never paid more than $100-$120 for a ticket for a concert. Never. Now, I don't have mainstream tastes, right? I'm not out there. But like Metallica's pretty big. I saw them for 2 days for $150. Two shows in 2 days for $150.
Yeah, but they had Lars Ulrich in there. So.
I'm just saying, like, it wasn't impossible to get what I would call, I mean, $75, $80 a ticket per a show is a lot for some people. To me, that's not crazy for a live concert that you're going to only see once, maybe every 2 years. You know, I mean, like, if I were going to go to a baseball game, I can go to a baseball game and get pretty good tickets for $80. I could also get tickets for $20 if I wanted to, if I chose to get out. That's not going to be available at a concert. But I guess that's the question is, the difficulty is getting in early and getting on it. But also, if you're a fan of the biggest, hottest artists in the world, that's going to be the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, for a lot of people, like, the ultimate dream would be to go see Taylor Swift.
Right.
But those are exactly the tickets that are being bought up immediately and then resold at a markup. And so then it becomes kind of a status symbol.
Maybe that's the change, you guys think. Like, because not that long ago, old guy take, it's not like every ticket was bought up by people looking to resell them or by, you know, ticket agents or whatever. And now it feels like almost all of them are bought up by people that are going to do that.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you regulate that, but maybe that's the play, is to go after the secondary market so that they stay on the regular market longer.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't have this like fully pulled. I believe they're going after Ticketmaster currently because of the practices that because of all of this that we're talking about, like, it is a big enough of a problem that this is, they're trying to sort this out.
They're saying legally, this is not right.
So, and this happens in other places, in other things, right? Like when there's something really, like as an example, Andrew and I can speak to, remember Andrew, when the next gen consoles first came out and people were buying them and then reselling them on eBay or whatever for twice the cost because you just couldn't get them. And if you happen to get one, you could double your money really quick. I know we don't frown upon that, but that's basically what ticket services do for every event year round all the time. They just go buy them all when they can become available, whether they're using bots to do it or they're just doing it, you know, on with multiple human beings. And then the regular person has no chance to get those tickets when they first come out, when they first go public.
See, maybe I've just got a little socialist in me because there are certain things. Like, even at Capitol Grill, you can get a hamburger. It'll be a $25 hamburger, but you can get one. But things like concerts and sporting events, there's something in me that feels like a college kid should be able to go.
Well, I get where you're coming from, Dave, because it's not as if all of these tickets are being bought up by, like, hey, I'm a real guy and I was first in line bought it and now I'm going to resell. It's like, no, it's like bots coming in and just harvesting this.
That
and
then should be regulated.
That's the issue. It's not like, oh, capitalism is bad. It's more like, no, you're literally not giving anyone a chance.
It's
to
It's got to be more fair because, because the average person, I can't set up 10 bots to try to get me in. I guess I could if I had the technological ability, but almost no human beings do. But these companies just have nonstop. They're just going to get online. They don't have to, it's not a human waiting. It's just going to go buy them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I wish they could regulate that, because that would change, I think, the price structure quite a bit.
Because, last thing I'll say, I think, like, baseball has it pretty well knocked. You can buy a $10, $15, $20 ticket any night at Busch Stadium, pretty much,
yeah.
Or you can buy a $1,000 ticket in the green seats.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind that at all.
Yep.
To me, that's sort of, that's the way this thing works.
Yep.
Open my eyes to a new kind of way.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas, to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All the good times that you saved. Are you feeling? You feeling that way too? Or am I just? Am I just a fool? When the summer's gone, she'll be there.
Trying to talk the guys in the band to play in this one. This is obviously the part that I would do. Kidding. You can do it. I can't do it. I've tried.
I bet Andrew could sing this song.
I could scream. I could holler it.
I didn't know you were a singer. Did you sing back when you were in the band?
I could yelp it. back when I was in marching band?
No, you were in a little band for a while, right?
Yeah, no, I did not. Hold on.
I didn't know that guy was in your room.
Is that where he lives?
Wesley, shut up. I don't care about your financial group right now. No, the thing that I use to make the podcast delays, yeah. So sometimes when I hit play, it doesn't start playing for like several seconds.
Gotcha.
Until I'm up on the air.
Gotcha. So Kevin now knows who Noah Kahan is. He checked out the Busch Stadium show.
My Lord.
Told you, dude.
Yeah, is that happening like this summer?
August. Yeah.
Okay.
The cheapest ticket that I saw. Now, again, it was secondary market. I guess I'm sure it sold out, right? I'm sure sure you cannot get them straight normally. The cheapest ticket I saw was near the top of the stadium, and it was $350.
Yeah. See, like, just nobody wants to pay that.
Well, I mean, they clearly do because it's sold out.
But I think a lot of those.
Well, no, you know what? I'm wrong. It's not sold out. It's those because those are available.
Okay.
It's just sold out through the traditional means. It's not sold out at that price.
Yeah, but that sounds like it's people buying them up front. So then
companies doing it. Yeah.
Precisely. To make that make that profit off of the people who were like,
money.
Dad, I really want to go see Noah Kahan. And you go, yeah, sure. Anything for you. And then you go and you go, oh, my God. Do you guys remember when I think it was. Probably what, 2012, 2013, when U2 came to
Busch, yeah.
To Busch. those tickets, I mean, that was like mafia stuff. I mean, everybody was trying to tell, you know, what can you do for me? Do you think you could, score some tickets? You know, it was crazy.
Okay. So, very simply, who's making the money? Is Noah Kahan making that money, or are these bot ticket buyers?
This is where the artists are actually pissed too.
Yeah.
Because
let's say they
get paid based on the face value. So whatever it is on Ticketmaster, when it first comes on sale, whatever comes on top of that for the secondary market, they get none of that.
Yeah, so if Noah Kahan sells a ticket for $80, right, and somebody buys an $80 ticket, let's say he gets $40, $50 of that. Somebody takes that $80 ticket, flips it for $700 on the secondary market, and sells it, that money, that percentage of that extra $600, that's going to be split between the person who is selling the ticket resale and the platform.
Yep.
So StubHub, Ticketmaster, whatever the platform might be.
These are bad people.
They are bad people, yeah. They are...
Well, this used to be called scalping.
Yeah.
We used to not let people buy tickets and then like charge above face value for them.
Isn't that so true? What an individual guy cannot do, a major corporation can
There's also something about like, well, it's online, so what can we do?
Yeah.
We do that online. There's so many things like that we're really going to have to eventually reevaluate.
Would it be over the top to ask for a law that says basically... If you buy a ticket to an entertainment event, you can't upcharge it?
I would have no problem with that. Or a limit. You know, a limit.
It sounds, as somebody who's kind of looked into it a little bit, and Joel's asking this on the stream, too, about, like, I understand it's hard to regulate these things.
Yeah,
because that's why scalping has taken off in so many other places. It's Pokemon cards are really bad with it. It's impossible to find Pokemon cards now because... people are buying them and then reselling them in an attempt to drive up the price, which has happened dramatically.
Well, you can limit the number of packs someone can buy at once.
And that is generally how most places are trying to fight it. You're exactly right, Rachel. Most places who are trying to fight it, a lot of like the local stores around town and stuff, are trying to fight it specifically by just putting a limit on how much you can buy. The problem is a lot of the... You know, like your Targets, your Walmarts, your Amazons, whatever.
They're just going to sell in bulk,
They just want to sell and make the money. They don't care who buys it. They don't care what they're buying it for.
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I'll give you anything to feel it coming.
Our buddy Julie Lally just texted me and said Frankie Valli was supposed to be performing here, but he had to get a surgery. Like, did he have to get all of them? Because I think maybe he needs all of them.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Come on. Frankie's the best.
Okay.
I grew up with Frankie. That's great. Not actually grow up, but...
Right across the street.
Yeah, so did Napoleon. I mean...
Andrew, how old is he? Is he 92? I thought I heard
he's
somewhere.
92, Dave.
92. Yeah, he is... The issue is not with his talent. He's immensely talented... the issue was with the unavoidable entropy of time. The issue was with the fact that he's 92, and the fact that he is up there is nothing short of maybe elder abuse.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it's like, is Frankie making the choice to do this fully?
Yeah, I'm like, I have no problem with Mick Jagger. He's like,
mid-80s. He seems like he's having fun.
He's got newborn babies to support.
Yeah, that's right.
He's got
Rod Stewart's out there.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, no, it's... No, it's just sad watching Frankie. So,
is it really?
Yes.
Oh, it's tough to watch. You should look up a video on YouTube or you know, any social media of like just him from the last couple of years. There's tons of video out there because he does lots of concerts.
Think if that were your dad, you'd be like, hey, Mom, we need to talk about Dad doing concerts. Like, it's a little...
I was going to go see him, but COVID hit and then they stopped that tour. And he is touring again. Mainly in the Northeast. He's huge in the Northeast. And I thought, oh, I don't know. Do I want to see that or not? I decided I didn't.
Rach, what do you?
Well, we have some Frankie Valli news.
What's that?
Last week, police were called to his L.A. home because of an alleged domestic dispute.
Huh?
A 38-year-old man was banging on the door of the home demanding entry. So law enforcement came out. There were no injuries. Glad you're okay, Frankie.
Yeah,
that sounds kind of scary.
One of the Jersey boys. came to see us.
Jeez. It's a Broadway hit.
Which is actually quite good.
Jersey, I've heard that.
Oh, yeah. No, he has a 3-year restraining order against his oldest son.
Ugh.
Just keeps getting worse.
I think the son was the person who was banging on the door. Now I'm just airing out their dirty laundry. But it's right here on USA Today.
Like, yes, you're not making it up, Rach.
It's news. Yeah. You're not causing this.
I heard that they have a no contact order. No, but very, very sad situation.
That is sad.
Dave, I thought about you last night. I got a notification that the movie Twister must be 25 years old now.
Yeah,
that's about right.
Older than that.
And I figured you hated it. And yes. I remember watching it in the theaters, and the part where the cows go flying across.
Yeah.
The guy in front of me looked to his wife or girlfriend. And he goes, "That happens all the time." I was like, "Oh, we got Ollie Roman here in front of me."
Now you know what? We also saw it in the theater, and I was laughing through most of it. And I probably annoyed the people around me.
Dave, you probably feel about that the way I feel about a lot of sports movies.
Like Rudy, sure, absolutely.
It's just like you get things wrong. Yes, like Rudy.
Yeah.
Totally made up. Didn't happen. But hey, let's make a movie about it.
That's right.
Evidently, they were making fun of Rudy.
Yes, that's what Joe Montana said.
Well, that's just great.
Well, I mean,
why do you keep that to himself? Well, why does he come out after the nice movie and be like, by the way, we hated that.
Who's the bad guy? The guy that tells the truth or the guy that makes millions of dollars off a lie?
Whoever's hurting Rudy's feelings is the bad guy.
I mean, I like Sean Astin, but man, that Rudy guy can take a leap.
But Rudy is real. That was a real boy.
Yeah, I know. The real guy who made up the story of him being the hero that didn't happen.
Now you're bullying Rudy.
I'm not bullying anybody. I'm picking on a guy who lied to the public and deceived all those people that thought that really happened. Did you say, by the way, on that same note, remember the movie Catch Me If You Can?
Yeah.
The DiCaprio movie, the guy Frank Abagnale?
Yeah.
Made all of it up. Never happened. Not one of it happened.
None of that happened?
None of it happened. He did none of those things. A reporter just did a long dig on it and found out, like, nobody who was involved, none of the companies that he says he scammed, ever said they lost anything. They're like, you know, we would have chased him down if we found that.
The ultimate scam.
And the FBI hired him as a consultant based on those lies.
Well, they hired him as a consultant because he was actually very good at fraudulating checks. He just, a lot of the stuff in the movie is highly exaggerated.
Like nothing ever happened with an airline. It was never real. He made that up.
I like fraudulating.
Fraudulating, yeah. I'm super shocked to learn that the con artist made something up.
Right.
I think we should get really upset and up in arms about it.
So you agree that Rudy's a con artist now?
No, Rudy is not a con artist. Rudy made a nice story, and I think you're being way too mad about Rudy. You brought up Rudy a couple times.
I hate Rudy.
He's like your least favorite person in the world.
I can't stand Rudy. I can't stand anybody who's just going to make up. Like, I was the hero. No, you weren't. Nobody cared.
See, this all traces back to the Whimsy thing. We're right back at the Whimsy thing. God. It always ends up there. He can't take it because it's a fictional story.
No, if it was portrayed as a fictional story, it's fine. He was saying, this happened to me. He did interviews about it. He was selling a lie.
Maybe he was fooled.
I'm going to be honest. I've never paid attention while watching Rudy, if I have seen it. Does Rudy have a love interest in the film?
No.
Because
maybe John Favreau.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia show for the real Rudy, and this is what it says. Rudy was previously married to Cheryl. Despite the divorce.
Good for Rudy.
Cheryl would still book all of his travels. He and Cheryl had 2 children. Who is Cheryl? Is she in? Like, should I know who this is?
Okay. Now, Lily Taylor's character in Rudy was named Sherry.
Close enough.
Maybe that's
a nickname.
And a Frankie Valli song, Sherry. Let's bring this all together.
What year did Rudy the movie come out, Andrew?
Rudy the movie came out in 1993.
Yeah, that tracks. I was dating a girl back then, and I stopped dating her. I stopped dating her because she went to Notre Dame, and she was obsessed with the Rudy story. Uh-huh. And she said the word karaoke really weird, and that was enough.
All right.
You want to hear it?
Let's see.
I do.
She was from Kirkwood, and she would say she'd been to Japan a couple times. No offense, Rach. And she would say the word like this, Akaria Oka. And I'm like, I don't think that's how you say that word. So I stopped dating her. She learned her lesson, huh?
Coach Dan Devine was agreed to be depicted as heavy in the film, but was chagrined to find out the extent to which he was vilified.
Yes. Saying, terrible villain.
Yes, see, Dan Devine was the one that put him in and wanted him to be there, and he made it look like he was the bad guy.
The jersey scene is unforgivable. It's a lie and untrue.
See?
Joe Montana says he did get in the ball game, he did get carried off after the game.
There's film
of it. No, they did carry him off, but they were making fun of him. They were joking about the fact that he actually got a play. And
that's what I'm saying. Maybe Rudy wasn't in on it.
Well, I mean, he could have asked.
Are you guys making fun of me right now?
Yeah, no, but why? Like, why would he portray the coach as the villain in this story when the coach was on his side?
Evidently, the blind side's not completely.
No, it's got a lot of BS too.
I don't think there is a single movie, let alone sports movie, though, that doesn't have some exaggerations, because real life is boring, and you just go and you get married to Cheryl. And despite their divorce, Cheryl still books all your travels, and he and Cheryl had two children. That's the word for word his personal life, which is
Rudy's
the funniest.
Rudy's still making a living from this.
Rachel's funny. Rachel's right. It's the funniest damn thing
I've
ever
seen. By the way, Rudy was charged with securities fraud in 2011.
Okay,
so this guy
we're just digging up dirt on
I'm
Rudy.
Just saying, this guy's been doing some stuff.
Now we're at the Rudy got a DUI
He was charged with a pump and dump scheme. He's going to pump it all up and then sell it and then make money and then get away with it.
Was it like Rudy coin? What was going on?
It was Cheryl coin.
He was chairman of Rudy Beverage Inc.
Yum. I'll try it.
And apparently got in trouble.
I'll try any old stupid drink. What's a Rudy beverage?
I don't know.
Yeah, what would it take?
He was trying to capitalize on his fake story even 30 years after it was made and got in trouble for it.
You're a little passionate about it.
I don't like it.
It's called Rudy Beverage Incorporated.
Yeah, it is. I'm looking at it right here. I didn't even know about this till like 8 seconds ago.
Dave, want to take about a minute and tell us about the weather?
Sure. Gorgeous day tomorrow, though. It's going to be warmer. Southerly flow, 83. Another cold front comes in. Cool front on Tuesday night. Scattered showers, couple of thunderstorms. Nothing widespread as far as severe weather is concerned. But some thunderstorms around. Then Wednesday, beautiful, sunny, slightly cooler, 75. And Mitch, you needed your private forecast for moving back home. Wednesday will be gorgeous for a move back home. It is going to stay nice Thursday, and then some really hot weather coming in Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and into next week.
That is so sweet of Dave to cater to Mitch and all the rest of us here going like, don't feed him.
I was literally just going to say that, Dave. Giving Mitch everything.
Yeah, but you know what? It's been a year.
We're spoiling
You've
Mitch.
You've known Mitch for a year.
That's right. He's been listening his whole freshman year at Mizzou.
Yep.
Someone tells me Mitch is going to make it down to the studio this summer, so.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Little Bob here. This summer, shop the latest small space solutions at Bob's Discount Furniture. From retro chic bedroom sets to stylish space-conscious Bob-o-pedic sofas, it's all at Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money?
Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Monday, 3:51, Cardinal Report, sponsored by Rawlings. Visit the Rawlings experience in Westport. Wills, I don't have a Cardinals question for you. I have a Cardinals broadcasting question for you.
Okay.
How often is it that a normie, not Matt Pauly, not Bernie Miklas, but a texter or a caller, or I consider myself a normie, how often is it that a normie says something to you or asks you a question where you go, wow, it's kind of stopped me in my tracks. That's pretty good. As opposed to, you idiot.
No, it's usually way in between those two things. It's usually not you idiot, and it's definitely not a lot the stop you in the tracks. But that first thing happens from time to time when it's basically like more of a view from a different industry, right? Like, so someone who is an expert in, let's say, music, and they'll ask a question that from their background in music, it makes it an interesting, oh, I never thought of it that way. I never really looked at it from that perspective. And then that's where you have that moment. It doesn't have to be music. That's just the first example I thought of where someone would, you know, talk about something that they know really well. And it's like, is it like that? Or maybe it's like this. And like, all right, yeah, that's a pretty good way to look at it. So, or sometimes it's not, but that's where you get that reaction.
As someone who has a reputation for knowing so much about baseball, what don't you know? What are your blind spots where you really wish you knew a little more about X?
Well, the blind spot that I have is the blind spot that the vast majority of people who cover sports have, is that you just never know what's going on inside when you're not there. Right? What's inside the player's head? What did they talk about in their meeting that none of us get to go to? You know, what do they see on the video that we don't get to see, or the scouting reports that we don't get to see? So it's usually that kind of stuff. It's like proprietary. How does the front office value players? Well, they're not going to tell us. Mm-hmm. Certainly not going to say it publicly. So that's the kind of stuff that you're just not going to know. You can have an idea based on conversations, based on reading good reporting, based on watching what they do. But nobody's going to tell you how the donuts are made, because they don't want that to be known to the public. They all are very, it's very closed circuit information.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the stuff where you're going to be. But if you're talking outside of that, your biggest blind spot in evaluating is always your own predispositions. So that's true in the sport. That's true outside the sport. And it's true, you know, scouts have that kind of thing too. And it's hard sometimes to put aside what you've learned to learn something new.
I love on CNN right now, they're having a big discussion about the pastor who said it's preposterous to compare the Trump statue to the golden calf. Isn't it crazy that we're just talking about this? Just panels on television shows are discussing whether the 22-foot gold statue of the sitting president is kosher or not.
Yeah, I'm just a big fan of if the shoe were on the other foot conversation.
Oh, if Obama had put that thing up?
If there had been a gold statue made of Obama and put anywhere and he endorsed it and he was cool with it, what would the reaction have been?
Yeah.
So and again, it should have been ridiculous, right? It would have been, to me, it would have been like, dude, that's just stupid. Don't do that.
Yeah.
It shouldn't matter who it is.
Nope.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.